A very good morning to you all of our learners and listeners. Welcome to NIS web radio program. This is Live PCP for Science and Tech at Senior Secondary Level. I am Neelam Gupta. Welcome you all in this program. In our previous program, we have discussed about atomic structure, which is lesson 5 of your science course at secondary level. During this program, we will discuss about, during that program, we have discussed about Dalton's atomic theory. This theory could explain that atom is considered to be the smallest indivisible constituent of all matter. Certain experiments towards the end of 19th century about that the atom is neither the smaller nor indivisible particle of matter. It was shown that the atom is neither the smallest nor the indivisible particle of matter. It was shown to be made up to even smaller particles called electron, protons and neutrons. Sir J.J. Thomson discovered that when very high voltage has passed across the electrodes in the cathode ray tube, the cathode produced rays that turned from the cathode produced rays that traveled from cathode to anode and were called cathode rays. It shows that the rays were made up to the stream of negatively charged particles called electrons. The discovery of electrons means that the atoms is not indivisible, or was believed as believed by the Dalton and others. Eugene Goldstein discovered anode rays by using a perforated cathode in the discharge tubes filled with air at a very low pressure. The discovery of anode rays established the presence of positively charged proton in the atom. According to Thomson's plum pudding model, atoms can be considered as a large sphere of uniform positive rays charge with a number of small negatively charged electrons scattered throughout it. The alpha ray scattering experiment performed by Greger and Marsden led to the failure of Thomson's model of atom. In this experiment, a stream of alpha particles from a radioactive source was directed on a thin piece of gold foil. Most of the alpha particles passed straight through the gold foil. Some alpha particles were deflected by small angles, a few particles by large angles, and very few experienced a rebound. The result of alpha rays scattering experiment were explained in terms of Rutherford's model. According to this, which the atom contains a dense and positively charged region called nucleus at its center, and negatively charged electrons moved around it. All the positive charge and most of the mass of atom is contained in the nucleus. The Rutherford's model, however, factored as it could not explain the stability of atoms, the distribution of atoms, and the relationship between the atomic mass and atomic number, that is number of proton. We have discussed at this in our program, previous program. So during this live PCP program, we will discuss about discovery of neutron, atomic number, and atomic mass. We will also discuss about electronic configuration, that is distribution of electron in different orbits, and concept of volume or valency in brief. Let us begin. First, we will talk about little bit our Bohr model limitations. The Bohr's model's limitation, atoms remove two of the limitations of Rutherford's model. These are related to the stability of atoms and the distribution of electrons in the nucleus and the around the nucleus. You would recall that the third limitation of Rutherford model was inability to explain the relationship between the atomic mass and the atomic number. So let us now learn how this problem was solved with the discovery of neutron. So come to the discovery of the neutron. You would recall that when we discussed about the failure of Rutherford model we mentioned that it was unable to explain the relationship between the atomic mass and the atomic number, that is atomic number, that is number of protons. According to the Rutherford model, the mass of helium atom, which contains two protons, should be double that of a hydrogen atom with only one proton. And however, the actual ratio of the mass of helium atom to hydrogen atom is 4:1. It was suggested that there must be one more type of subatomic particle present in the nucleus, which may be neutral but have mass. Such particles were discovered by James Chadwick in 1932. This was found to be electrically neutral and was named neutron. Neutrons are present in the nucleus of all atoms except hydrogen, because hydrogen has only one atomic number. A neutron is represented by small n and is found to have a mass slightly higher than that of proton. Thus, we can say if the helium atom contained two protons and two neutrons in the nucleus, the mass ratio of helium to hydrogen is 4:1, could be explained. And the characteristics of these three fundamental particles constituting an atom, you can observe a table on page number 3, that is table number 5.1, characteristics of the fundamental atom, subatomic particles, electron, proton and neutron. Symbol of electron is small e, symbol of proton is p and neutron is n. Mass, in this table, mass and actual charge and relative charge is given. So, you can observe this table and remember. Now, come to the next section of this lesson, that is atomic number and mass number. You have learned that the nucleus of the atoms contains positively charged particles called protons and neutral particles called neutrons. The number of protons and in an atom is called atomic number and is denoted the symbol Z. Z is capital. All atoms of an element have the same atomic number. The electrons occupy the space outside the nucleus. In order to account for the electrically neutral nature of the atom, the number of protons in the nucleus is exactly equal to the number of the proton in number of the electrons outside the nucleus. Then we can say atomic number is equal to number of proton is equal to number of electrons. If you have already, as you have already learned that Dalton's theory of the atoms of different electrons, different elements are different from each other, we can now say that the difference is due to difference in the number of protons present in the nucleus of the element, or we can say in other word, different elements differ in terms of their atomic number. For example, the atom of hydrogen and helium are different because hydrogen has one proton and in its nucleus, whereas the nucleus of helium atom contains two protons. Their atomic numbers are respectively 1 and 2. So, you have learned that in the Rutherford model that the mass of the atom is concentrated in its nucleus. This is due to the presence of two heavy particles, namely protons and neutrons in the nucleus. These particles are called nucleons. Protons and neutrons combinedly said nucleons. The number of nucleons in the nucleus of an atom is called its mass number. It is denoted by A, that is capital A, and is equal to the total number of protons and neutrons present in the nucleus of an element. So, we can say atomic number is equal to number of proton or equal to number of electrons, and in case of atomic number, number of protons plus number of neutrons. So we atomic number and atomic mass number are represented in the symbol of an element as we can we take element X with an atomic number Z and the mass number A, and we can denote it in left side X is Z upon A. For example, we can take carbon. Carbon has atomic mass 12 and 6. So we can write C left side 6 upon 12. It means the carbon has an atomic number of 6 and the atomic mass is 12. This can be used to compute the number of different fundamental particles in the atom. So we can calculate as the atomic number is 6. This means number of proton or is equal to number of electron is 6, as mass number is equal to number of proton plus number of neutrons. It means number of mass number is 12 and number of protons we know 6. So we can calculate number of electrons. 12 minus 6 is equal to 6. So atom of a carbon contains 6 protons, 6 electrons and 6 neutrons. In exam, you can find several elements and their atomic mass and number, and you can calculate number of proton, number of electron, whatever asked in the exam. Now we will discuss about electronic configuration, that is distribution of electrons in different orbits. As we discussed in the earlier section of this lesson, that electrons move in definite parts called orbits or shells around a central nucleus. These orbits or shells have different energies and can accommodate different number of electrons in them. The question arises that how are the electrons distributed among these shells? So, answer of this question can be or was provided by Bohr and Bury. According to their scheme, the electron distribution is governed by the 5 rules. Rule number first, these orbits or shells in an atom are represented by the letter KLMN or the positive integral number n is equal to 1, 2, 3, 4. Second rule is the orbits are arranged in the order of increasing energy. The energy of M shell is more than that of L shell, which in turn is more than that of the K shell. Rule number third, the maximum number of electrons present in a shell is given by a formula 2n square, where n is a number of orbits or shell. Thus, the maximum number of electrons can be accommodated in different shells. First we take K, that is n is equal to 1. So the formula is 2n square. 2, 1 square means 2 into 1 is equal to 2. The K shell contains only 2 electrons. Maximum number of electrons in L shell, because L is level 2 or n is equal to 2, then 2n square, 2 into 2 to the power 2 to the whole square is equal to 8. Again, n is equal to 3, that is M shell. So, maximum number of electron in M shell is 2 into 3 to the power whole square, that is 18 electrons. Here is a table in your book or dispatch 1, page number 105. You can see value of n 1, 2, 3, 4, shell name KLNM, and the maximum capacity of the electron is 2, 8, 18, and 32. Next, rule number 4, the shells are occupied in the increasing order of their energies. Next is rule number 5, electrons are not accommodated in a given shell unless the inner shells are completely filled. So, the arrangement of electron in the various shells or orbits of an atom of the element is known as electronic configuration. So, let us now study the filling of electrons in various shells of atoms of different elements. Because we know formula is 2n square and shell name is KLMN and number of shells or orbits can denote 1, 2, 3, 4. So, we can observe various elements electronic distribution configuration. First, we will talk about hydrogen, because hydrogen atom has only one electron. It would occupy the first shell, and electronic configuration of hydrogen can be represented as 1. Next, we can take helium, because helium has 2 electrons in its atom. Since the first shell can accommodate 2 electrons, hence this second electron will also be placed in the first shell. So, electronic configuration of helium is written as 2. We will take third element, that is lithium, has 3 electrons. The 2 electrons occupies the first shell, whereas the third electron goes to the next shell of the higher energy level, that is second shell. Thus, we can write electronic configuration of lithium is 2-1. Similarly, we can written other elements electronic configuration as shown in this figure, that is figure number 10. Here are lithium, barium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, fluorine. You can observe and you can practice also, because you know atomic number and atomic mass. So, you can draw electronic configuration as according to the shells KLMN 2n square. I have already told, if n is 1, then 2, n is 2, electronic maximum electron capacity is 8, and then 16 and 18 and 32. So, now come to the concept of valency or valence. We have just told about electronic configuration of first 18 elements. These elements are hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, neon, sodium, magnesium, aluminium, silicon, phosphorus, sulfur, chlorine and argon. So, you can see these different elements have different numbers of electrons in the outermost or the valence shell. These electrons in the outermost shell are known as valence electron. The number of valence electron determines the combining capacity of an element, an atom in an element. The valence is a number of chemical bond that an atom can form with univalent atoms. Since hydrogen is a univalent atom, the valency of that element can be taken by the number of atoms of hydrogen with which one atom of the element can combine. For example, in water H2O, NH3 and methane and valency of the oxygen, nitrogen and carbon are 2, 3 and 4 respectively. So, the element having a completely filled outermost shell in their atoms show little or no chemical activity, or other words, their combining capacity or valency is 0. The element with completely filled valence shell are said to be to have stable electronic configuration. The main group elements can have a maximum of 8 electrons in their valence shell. This is called octet rule, or in detail you will learn about octet rule in lesson number 7. You will also learn that the combined capacity or the tendency of an atom to react with other atoms to form molecules depend on the ease with which it can achieve octet in its outermost shell. The valence of the elements can be calculated from the electronic configuration by applying the octet rule. It can be seen, or it can be done as in this manner. If the number of valence electron is 4 or less, then the valency is equal to the number of the valence electrons. Second point is, in case when the number of valence electrons is more than 4, then generally the valency is equal to 8 minus the number of valence electrons. So, valency is equal to number of valence electron for 4 or lesser valence electrons, and valency is equal to 8 minus number of valence electron for more than 4 electrons. The composition and electronic configuration of the elements having the atomic number from 1 to 18 along with their valencies are given in table number 5.3, page number 107. You can observe and remember and learn. You will study in detail the importance of electronic configuration in next lesson. In understanding the periodic arrangement of elements, so these electronic configuration are also helpful in studying the nature of bonding between various elements, which will be learned in lesson number 7. So, before we wrap up, we would like to recap the main points once again, that is what you have learned. After this, I will talk about the practical, how can you prepare your practical files and what are the practicals can be given in your practical manual. First, we will take first point, the problem of the stability of the atom and the distribution of electrons in the atom was solved by Niels Bohr in terms of Bohr's model of the atom. Bohr's model can be understood in terms of two postulates, the first being the electrons would move in definite circular path of fixed energy around a central nucleus, and the second, the electron can change its orbit or energy level by absorbing or releasing energy. In 1932, James Chadwick discovered an electrically neutral particles in atoms and named it as neutron. The number of protons in an atom is called the atomic number and is denoted as capital Z. On the other hand, the number of protons plus neutrons in the nucleus of an atom is called its mass number and is denoted as A. The electrons are distributed in different shells in the order of increasing energy. The distribution is called electronic configuration. The maximum number of electrons present in a shell is given by the formula 2n square, where n is the number of the orbit or the shell. The valence is the number of chemical bonds that an atom can form with univalent atoms. If the number of valence electrons is 4 or less, then the valency is equal to the number of the valence electrons. On the other hand, if the number of valence electron is more than 4, then generally the valency is equal to 8 minus the number of valence electrons. Ab hum baat karte hain science practicals ke bare mein, because science and technology is a subject which can be learnt by doing the experiment inside or outside the laboratory, given you an opportunity to understand the laws and the principles of the science. In fact, we can say these experiments form an integral part of the science learning. This helps in developing scientific attitude and certain well-defined skills. While doing the experiment in a science lab, you will get a chance to handle scientific equipments and apparatus, chemicals, etc. and you will have to plan your work, make observation and draw conclusions. This process will help in developing scientific attitude and habit of systematic work and logical thinking. So first understand what experiment mean. Is just a checking test tube or mixing some solution or something more? Then we can say an experiment have mainly five different components. First, aim. Second, act of performance. Third, observations. Fourth, presentation of data. Fifth, interpretation of data and drawing conclusion. With an aim in mind, we perform certain lab activities and make observations on the basis of the known scientific principles. We interpret the data and draw conclusions. For example, if you have to distinguish between ionic and covalent bond, you perform a set of laboratory activities, record observations, present in a tabular form, or finally draw the conclusion on the basis of these observations. The experiment designed for the science and tech, for your science and tech for secondary course in NIOS, in the format is presented in the self-learning instruction sheets. The format denotes aims, it defines the scope of the experiment, then objective. The objective of an experiment give you an idea about the skill or the knowledge that you are expected to develop after performing that experiment, then what you should know. It highlights the importance of carrying out a particular experiment and gives you a brief description of the concept related to the experiment which you are performing. Then material required, it gives an exhaustive list of apparatus, chemicals, equipments and other material required to perform any experiment and how to perform experiment. These steps are given in a sequential manner for setting up the apparatus and carrying out the experiment. The precautions wherever necessary are incorporated in describing various steps. Next, what is observed? What to observe? A proper format of recording the observation is suggested in each experiment. And conclusion, this is an outcome from the observation and support the aim set in the beginning. Next, check your understanding. It means at the end of each experiment, a few questions have been incorporated to consolidate what have been done and to check your understanding. Before starting any experiment, you are advised to go through the detailed instructions given under it and plan your work accordingly. In case of any doubt, consult your tutor of AI center and get the clarification needed. Then start the experiment, proceed systematically according to the given instructions. Stop wherever you have doubt, or consult your teacher again to further proceed. It is necessary to follow the safety measures while working in a science lab, and few tips I can give. First, use all chemicals carefully. Replace the reagent bottles in their proper position. After use, do not mix chemicals unless required. Don't taste chemicals. Before using a chemical, sure it is a right chemical. Put off the gas to extinguish the flame of burner. Don't use any solid or liquid for this purpose. Don't keep volatile liquids such as alcohol, ether, acetone near the flame as they are highly inflammable. Don't talk to other students in the lab while performing the experiment, because in case you have any difficulty, consult your teacher directly. Never point a test tube containing a reaction mixture or a mixture which is being heated towards your neighbor or yourself. Never pour water into concentrated acid. Rather add acid slowly to water in the container. Before leaving the laboratory, wash your hand. Sometime we have injury in the form of cuts and burns. For wound caused by broken glass or any sharp edged object, remove the glass piece from the wound and control the bleeding by pressing it on it a clean cloth or handkerchief or through a stern surgical dressing. Apply a little Dettol or Spirit or Burnol and cover it with bandage. For wound due to acid burn, wash well with water and then with a 2% solution of sodium bicarbonate. Then apply Burnol on the wound. For wound due to heat of the flame, put the burn portion under cold water, then apply Burnol. Now come to the record book. You might be interested in knowing how to maintain the record book for the experiment. While performing the experiment, you would have undergone several steps as given in the this manual. For writing the experiment in the record book, you need not write the detail of the procedure of performing experiment. It should be in format having the five sections only. First, aim of the experiment. Second, material required for the experiment. Observation which you take during the experiment, and conclusion which is drawn on the basis of the observation and precautions taken by you while performing the experiment. Now come to the marking scheme for the practical examination. Time is 2.5 hours and maximum marks for practical is 15 for science and tech. Two experiments, both experiments should not be same section, because science and tech contains three parts, section A, section B and section C, physics, chemistry and biology. So you can take any two experiment from two different parts or two different sections. Next is record book, which is 4 marks and Viva Voice. Now come to the content of the experiment. There are 30 experiments, 10 experiments in each section, and you have to perform 10 experiments for your record book. Experiment 1, 12 and 21. Any two experiments do have to be done. Experiment number 3, 13 and 22. Any two activities or experiment could be done. Experiment 4, 5, 14, 15, 16, 22, 23 and 24. Any two experiments or activities to be performed. Experiment number 7, 17, 26, 27. Any two activities can be taken. Experiment number 8, 20, 27, 28, 29 and 30. Any two activities can be taken. So I will take one experiment. For example, suppose you have to choose experiment number 2. Aim is to find the average speed of an individual as one walks or run to and fro between two points. So objective of this experiment is, after performing this experiment, you should be able to measure the distance traveled by a moving body. Use a stopwatch to measure the time interval of an event and measure average speed of a moving body during a given interval. Then what should you know? You should know speed. So speed is the physical quantity which tells us how fast has a body moved between two positions. Normally, in moving long distances, a body does not move equally fast all the time. So the average speed of a body over a given time interval is given by average speed is equal to total distance moved by the body or path length upon total time taken. So, material required, 1 meter scale and a stopwatch. Then, how to perform this experiment? Mark two fixed points A and B on the ground 20 meters or more apart. Let your friend start at one point, say A. Instructed him or her to start walking or running. When you speak start, then make 5 to 10 walks from A to B, then B to A, and so on. Say starts and simultaneously start the stopwatch or know the time with the help of seconds. Hand in your watch in case a stopwatch is not available. Simultaneously, your friend starts walking. Keep on counting the number of times your friend has moved between the two points. When he completes his last trip, B to A or A or B, say stop and stop the watch at the instant he reaches the marked point. Next, measure the length AB with the help of a meter scale. If your friend has covered length AB n times, total number of distance moved by him is equal to n into A or B, A and B, AB. Note the time by your stopwatch or wristwatch and calculate average speed. Repeat the experiment at least 3 times. Are the 3 results equal? Find their mean. Repeat the experiment when your friends runs between the same 2 points. Note you yourself and walk run between that points with the stopwatch in your hand and perform this experiment on its own. And what to observe? We want to know speed. So, speed of a person when the person walks, distance between marked point AB is equal to D is equal to in meters. Then put these measures in your tabular form. First, you can make table. First, serial number. Second, section name, number of times the person moves the distance A and B. Total distance traveled is equal to n into d. Time taken t in seconds and average speed you can measure. So then you repeat this experiment 2 or 3 times as mentioned. What should you do? Then mean value of the average speed of a walking you can find in meter per second. First the speed of a person when the person walks, and second time you can measure speed of a person when the person runs. So similar table has to be filled up by 3 times and you find mean value of the average speed of running also. Now come to the conclusion. The person walked lengths AB with an average speed of this, and the person ran lengths AB with a speed of again. So now you can last 3 questions you have to answer, that is check your understanding. While moving to and fro between A and B, is your friend moving equally fast when he is in the middle and when he is close to A or B? If no, where his fastest? A person moves from A to B and return back in 1 minute or 40 seconds. What is the average speed of the person? The distance meter of a truck shows that it has traveled a distance of 60 km in 1 hour. Will its speed meter read 60 km per hour for the whole journey? Convert 18 km per hour to meter and second, and what will you measure? So, this is all about today's PCP program. We will come again to meet you on a new PCP program. Thank you.